throat, as is often the case, or at least the case that it's put when someone suddenly delves into questions of theology, nor have I brought it up to prove to you once and for all that I am a nonconformist or an iconoclast. As indicated last week, that would not be very productive of my own mental well-being. The reason why this subject is being included is simply because I am offering a course that I hope will be extremely valuable to you in helping to develop a code of conduct you can live with. And to leave religion out of it would be to leave a great area untouched by your code of conduct, meaning that you have suddenly created a dichotomy in your life where there are two separate areas that, of course, cannot be separate because one is going to reflect upon the other. How can you make decisions that are out of touch with your own religious beliefs? To do so is simply to create conflicts and contradictions in your life which are going to run into each other. Now, I am not laboring under the delusion that everyone here is suddenly going to adopt my attitude towards this subject after I have had my say on it this evening. But I do hope that you will have re-examined your own beliefs, especially in light of the code of conduct you are adopting for yourself in other areas of your life, and that this will help to stimulate you to bring the two in line so that you will have one integrated philosophy that makes sense all the way down the line. I am going to say these things in the best way I can think of because I think they make sense to me, and because of our similarity of values, they may very well make sense to you in a way that you have not seen them before. Or they may be exactly what you have seen before, or they still may be far inferior to something else that makes more sense to you. But if any of these things help to stimulate a better and more livable attitude towards your own belief and your own kind of code of conduct, then obviously this will be profitable to you. Now, whether or not you actually do profit from this course is going to depend upon several things. First of all, do I have anything to say? And second of all, am I saying it in a way that is understandable? And third, and often overlooked, are you even listening? That means, are you relaxed enough and concentrating in a way that you can hear my words and weigh them unemotionally, as I discussed a little while ago? If my words cause your mind to react in such a way that you are resentful and you concentrate on that, then obviously it is simply limiting your opportunity to profit from the course. If you're listening under any kind of a state of pressure whatsoever, in which you feel that you absolutely have to prove me wrong one way or the other, then, of course, you're not only falling prey to fallacy number five, you are just neutralizing the possibility that you will get a return on your investment, which, of course, is going to hurt us both in the long run and is not to either of our advantage. But what are you going to gain by proving me wrong? Obviously, nothing. You may not even see me again once this course is over with, so what difference would it make whether or not we have come to any agreement on matters such as this? So how important could it be that your past beliefs have withstood my attacks no matter what? I don't want you to let down your guard of truth. That's the one thing I want you to bring in with you every single week. Make me prove everything to your satisfaction. And I'm certainly not trying to induce you to take the attitude that if you just believe what I say hard enough, then in time it will work out and you'll see the value of it. Obviously not. I want to prove it to you first, and then you'll adopt it because you know that it works in advance rather than adopt it to see if it does. But on the other hand, I do want you to relax enough that you can actually hear my words and weigh them calmly. Only in that way can they be of any value to you. I certainly am going to assault your beliefs, and not just tonight, but next week and the week after that and the week after that too. But I'm not a threat to you in any way unless you choose to make me one. You see, you don't have to accept a single thing I say, and as obvious as that appears to be, it can be lost in practice very easily as the pressure begins to build up on you where you are beginning to feel like you're getting closed against the corner of the wall and you don't know quite how to get out. So just calmly listen to it all, consider it, and then prove to yourself that what I said was right or wrong. Or if you find that what I say makes much more sense than anything you've heard before, then consider the implications of that calmly over a period of time. Whatever happens, you can't lose, except the small investment of time that will take place in the next hour. Because if I prove nothing new to you, you'll be no worse off than you were before. If I do prove to you something that is of value to you, to replace something you already have, then your happiness will have increased. You will have profited. But either way, you have nothing to lose. So I can't brainwash you. I can't neutralize you. Just sit back, relax, and maybe even cross your legs in a different way than they've been crossed up to now, just to get yourself physically relaxed so that you can be mentally relaxed. And in case you think